I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, I love it when we can text back and forth during the show. I have a big screen right in front of me. It is the text line. And it's sort of a love language thing for me to hear from you, Mary, Julie, Tom, who've just recently texted in. Here's my question for you. And it's, I'm always asking you some pretty raw questions. This is a, kind of the no fluff zone. So what are you most worried about today? What's on your heart, if you don't mind? What are you anxious about, worried about today? Can you text me 877-933-2484? One of the things, you've maybe heard me say this before, but the enemy will often take some of our worst experiences, the greatest hardships, and he'll kind of question, you know, the fact that God allowed that in your life, who's to say he's not going to allow something worse? And he wants us to project our fears into a future that God's not in. He wants us to imagine the worst case scenario and then to do so with the absence of God, God not being available. And you know, if you are in Christ, there is no such scenario that exists. You know, Jesus, he's redeemed your past, he's with you in the present, and he's gone ahead, and he's in your future as well. Text me, I'd love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. My guest today writes this, when fear holds on tight, remember God travels broken roads looking for those who are crushed in spirit. Wounded hearts on winding back streets call to him. He cannot stay away. Like a storm chaser, he runs into your tornado. So what if you give God the next 40 days of your life to find peace in the chaos? Larry Duggar joins me today to talk about his book, Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. And guess what? We've got 6 copies to give away today. You can probably hear a little fatigue in my voice. I had a big event this last weekend. I'm a little bit tired, I'm just being honest, but super grateful to talk about this today. 6 copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, you text the word book to 877-933-2484. Couple quick announcements. We'll hear from Pastor Larry. Number one, we want you to honor your pastor. You know, our pastors are the unsung heroes and have a seemingly impossible job in this day. So tell us about your pastor. We want to hear about him. We're going to pick a winner because this is the month where we really, it's pastor appreciation. We should honor them all year long. But in Pastor Appreciation Month, we're actually going to pick a winner and send your pastor and his spouse on a retreat to the beautiful Billy Graham Training Center. It's called The Cove. So you can enter your pastor to win at myfaithradio.com. Also, to my Fargo friends, I will be at the Real Life Women's Conference on October 23rd with musical guests Phillips Craig and Dean, Plum, J.J. Weeks, and more at the Fargo Air Museum. So mark your calendars, October 23rd, and just look up the Real Life Women's Conference and you'll find it. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Larry Duggar is lead pastor at Family Church in Lebanon, Missouri, where he speaks to thousands each week through teaching, writing, social media, and television. He's a best-selling and award-winning author of the book 40 Days to Defeat Your Past, as well as He Calls Me Friend and other titles. He and his wife Karen have 2 sons, and they make their home in Ozark Mountains of Missouri. Pastor Larry, it's been a few years, but so great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Susie, I am honored to be with you today.
Well, we're looking forward to the conversation, and congratulations on your book. I want to give you the title again, friends, Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. And we're going to dig in just a moment, Pastor, but wondering if there's just a passage you've been pondering, what the Lord's been speaking about these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Lately, I've been studying a lot about the disciples, and one of the disciples that I have just had on my mind for the last couple of weeks is Judas. And I know that's a little bit unusual. You know, some of the other disciples get a little more press than this guy, but I've been thinking a lot about Judas, and I think, you know, he's like so many people that I've met. I was a practicing Christian counselor for a number of years, had a large counseling practice here in our city, and a lot of people came through the door who had created their own chaos. You know, they had kind of, there wasn't really an outside force that had made life go a little bit haywire. They had done that all by themselves. And I think Judas was in that, in that mold. He kind of created his, well, he didn't kind of, he actually did create his own problems. And at the end of it, he regretted it. He felt bad. And he even brought back the money that he took in order to betray Jesus. And I think, Susie, I think there's a lot of people that kind of feel like Judas did. He was afraid that he had let God down. And, you know, I think that we have to keep in mind that it's impossible for us to let God down because we're not the ones holding God up. And, you know, and I think if Judas had gone to Jesus instead of going to the chief priest, I think he could have found forgiveness and really got back on track. And his life might have even turned out far better than some of the other disciples that we know about. And so, I don't know, my encouragement today is, you know what, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think it is, you can always go back to Jesus. And he will meet you right there, and he will forgive you. And in fact, he will let you start over.
Hmm. His mercies are new every morning, and his faithfulness is great. I mean, I would argue that Judas definitely did let God down. I mean, God had a plan to send his son for mankind, but wow, what a story for Judas, and praying we can learn from that. You know, I asked folks to text in what they're worried about right now, and I'm going to just read a few of these and have you speak to them, if you would.
Sure.
The future for our children. Let's see here. I'm worried about how divided our Christians are in these times. Boy, isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. My worries have always been about my kids. I would love a copy of the book. Let's see. I have severe anxiety from a secret sin and not going to heaven if I die. I get panic from thinking about it. I know God has forgiven me, but nobody else knows. I don't fully understand that. But maybe have you speak to that. And maybe, friend, if you could text in, because I'm not sure I understand. I have severe anxiety from secret sin and not going to heaven if I die. I get panicky thinking about it. I have confessed to God. I know God's forgiven me, but nobody else knows about it. So maybe there's kind of guilt and shame hanging on. What do you say? Any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we all have those things in life that seem to be really dark, you know, and they may not seem like a big deal to other people, but they're certainly a big deal to us. And, you know, I think we have to keep in mind in the book Unshakable that we're talking about today, we describe darkness in the book as something that you can't see yourself getting through. You're in it, but you can't see yourself getting through it. And I've been a Christian. I'm 48 years old, and I've been a Christian for most of my adult life. And I can definitely tell you that there have been times when the enemy wanted me to believe that I wasn't going to get through it. You know, he would obviously like to be that lying voice and, you know, be that voice that's trying to keep me trapped in the mud and in the dark and in the chaos. But ultimately, you know, we know that at the end of it, God has a plan and a purpose, and he's working to get us there. And you know, I would just say to your listeners who maybe feel today like they're stuck in something that they wish that they could get out of, I would just encourage them with this thought. This is not forever. This is just for now. And you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have all the boxes checked right now. All you have to do is just keep going, you know, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And God will partner with that. He'll take you through. You can trust him. Even when you can't see the way, he will build the road in front of you. But you have to just keep going.
Mm. You know, I've got a number of people who are just so deeply concerned about what's going on in our nation, and there are things that are super concerning. And this dear listener says, I get fearsome about losing our freedoms, especially our freedom to worship, more so for my children and grandbabies than for myself. I'd love for you to speak to that, Larry, but also just your take on the last 20 months.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy. You know, I live in what would be considered a red state. I live in Missouri, and I'm surrounded by a lot of people who, you know, who believe the same way that I believe, but I know that that's not the case all across our nation. And to me, as I sit here and look at the political divide, it's almost like we've made our politics our religion, you know, and mm-hmm. you can't really talk about politics of people because they get so fired up and they get mad so quickly. And, you know, I think, you know, some people have just decided that, you know, that it's never going to be good again. And, you know, I don't believe that. I'm an optimist. You know, I believe that, you know, as long as the church is still here on the earth, that God is going to ensure us a victorious future. I believe that with all my heart. I just had my wife and I. We just had our first grandson this past year, and he's about a year old. And you know, our kids are grown, and but there's so many people right now that are fearful. You know, of what's going to happen? What kind of world are their kids going to inherit? And you know, what I've been telling my congregation here at Family Church is, look, if your kids are being born at this moment in time, it's because God is placing everything that they need inside of them to be world changers and to really be those difference makers that we need right now in this generation. And so, you know, I don't think we have to, you know, obviously I want to pray for my kids, pray for my grandkids. I want to believe, you know, that the very best for them. But I also know that, you know, if God put them here for such a time as this, then he obviously needs them to be here in this moment of time, and that he's going to empower them in their generation in the same way that God has empowered past generations.
We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to pray for Carmen and for Janet, who have a couple of pretty significant prayer requests. But I appreciate that so much, Pastor. And I just was connecting back and forth earlier today with one of my key intercessors, and she spends hours in the prayer room. And she said, Susie, I don't think Jesus coming is as close as we think, because she goes, I don't believe we have seen the church rise up to its mm-hmm. call. She said, I just think mm-hmm. there's so much more that God wants to do in and through the capital C church. And she said, and even in and through the church in America, the global mm-hmm. church for sure. But there's, you know, maybe we've been playing it safe. Maybe we've been a little bit vanilla, but we've not maybe influenced our nation in the way that God intended. But what if this was her finest hour? What if this is the day, and the, you know, that we start to see things change in the lives of many because God's people rose up to be counted? And the fact that babies are being born to believers makes me believe there's more work that he wants to do. Mm-hmm. Talking to author Pastor Larry Duggar, his book is Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. And I said, Carmen and Janet, we're going to pray for you as well. We got 6 copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. It's true. You still got a reason to praise. Look around. There are evidences of God's handiwork everywhere. He's been good. He is good. And he's going to be good again. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to author Pastor Larry Duggar, who wrote the book Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. So I've asked you 2 questions. One is, if you'd be willing to text me to tell me what you're worried about, I'd love to hear from you. We're going to pray for some of you. 877-933-2484. And if you want to get in on the drawing, we have 6 copies. Separate text, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Larry says this: this is not a time to step back and allow dark times to decide how the rest of your life is going to go. This is a time to step up and tell the darkness how it's going to go. The light living in you is greater than the darkness that surrounds you. And Larry, there's a couple people here that I would just love if we could pray for. Carmen says, if I'm completely honest, I'm anxious about everything, absolutely everything in my life, my kids, the world, the future. I cannot seem to break the cycle of being in just total constant state of anxiety. The screen just jumped. So sorry. Hold on. I'm exhausted and I'm struggling to get through each day. What do you say to Carmen? And then we'll definitely pray for you, Carmen.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to pray for Carmen today. I think, you know, for me, anxiety and worry are a trigger for me to pray. You know, you think about what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. He said, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And so in my life, when I, you know, when I feel that, that cloud of anxiety, or, you know, that, that rush of worry that tries to just burst through the doors of my life, I know, okay, that is the signal right there from the Holy Spirit that I need to stop and I need to pray about this and I need to cast this, you know, we cast our cares to the Lord because he cares for us. So I think, you know, if we can retrain ourselves to pray every time we have those worrisome thoughts, then we can obviously break those destructive cycles.
Mm. This dear listener says what makes her worry, excuse me, is that she said being told that I have two incurable diseases and the fear of that and the unknown of the future. So that's, she's had just relentless faith, but she gets some pretty painful mm-hmm. reports from doctors. Maybe you can speak to her and then we can pray for her.
Yeah, I would just say to her today that nothing is impossible. When I think about, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus, that seems like the most hopeless situation that anyone could ever imagine. And not just the crucifixion, but everything that led up to the crucifixion, the beating and just, you know, all the chaos that was surrounding that season in Jesus's life. It really did look like it was hopeless. It looked like that there was no way through that. And yet, in the midst of all of that, God was taking him on into something even better than he could have ever imagined on his own. And, you know, in those seasons where we feel like that our back is to the wall, we have to remember that his back was to the cross. And because of that, we have hope. There is hope that lives inside of us. And we have to realize that this is not forever. This is just for now. And we keep going and we keep praying, and then we watch as God begins to turn things in our favor.
Mm-hmm. So, Carmen, we're going to pray for you, and then I'll pray for Carmen. And, Pastor, if you don't mind praying for our other anonymous listener who's got the incurable diseases, that would be great. But Father, we lift up Carmen to you, and we lift up everybody whom she represents, Lord, that there are many who didn't text in, who live in that constant state of fight-flight, of bracing for impact, of just terror of what's happening all around them. And I pray you pour out your spirit. Lord, we come under your authority and we rise up in your authority. We take authority over that spirit of fear and we forbid it from interfering in Carmen's life anymore. We bind it in the name of Jesus and we hand those bonds to the one true living God. Lord, we take authority over that spirit of just anxiety and worry that enemy just wields against God's people. We bind it again in Jesus' name, and I hand those bonds to the Lord Jesus. And I pray, you know, you said whatever we bind on earth, you bind in the heavenlies. Whatever we loose on earth, you loose in the heavenly realm. So I just loose a spirit of peace and calm and comfort and assurance that you are the God who knows Carmen's name. You know where she lives. You know what stirs her up. And you know what settles her down. So would you just calm her precious heart? Would you help her to know that you're so with her, that you love her, that you're not going anywhere, and it's really going to be okay. It's going to be okay because you're with us. You're the God of all peace, the God of all comfort. And as so many say, things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. And I pray that Carmen would see your goodness in the land of the living. Just evidences that you're very much at work in her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, and Lord, I pray today for those who need healing in their lives. Mm. And we know that healing isn't just always physical. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes, Lord, we have scars that aren't visible for other people to see. Sometimes they're under the surface, things that we don't know how to fix. And so, Lord, today, I do believe that you are the God of miracles. I love that song, and I sing it because I know that it's true. You are the God of miracles. Lord, there is nothing that is impossible for you. And we know that as we look into your word, Lord, we see you there in your word, meeting people right where they are, whether they need healing in their physical bodies because they have something that has gone haywire. And we pray, God, for all of those those people that are listening today whose bodies have gone a little bit haywire, maybe even the doctors have said to them, there is no hope for you. Lord, we choose not to believe that report today. Lord, we choose to believe your report, and your report says that we are healed and that we are whole and that the prayer of faith saves the sick. And so, Lord, I just put my faith out there today, God, to those that would be listening to the sound of my voice, and I pray, God, that they would begin to live like they are healed. Lord, many of them may have decided to draw back. Maybe they're not even engaged in life the way that they once were because they feel like that physically they can't. Well, Lord, today I pray that they would take a step of faith and that they would begin to live like they are healed. God, that they would begin to serve in their church again if they've pulled back away from that. God, that they would go out in the yard and play with their grandkids. God, that they would begin to see themselves as a person that is whole, not a person that is sick, a person that is well, and not a person that is under the influence of anything that would not be healthy. And so today, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said that that name is above every name. So there's a name that is above cancer. There's a name that is above diabetes. There's a name that is above Parkinson's disease. Or, Lord, Lord, there's a name that's above cystic fibrosis today. And so, God, I just plead that name and that blood of Jesus over those that would be under the sound of my voice. And I believe, God, that even this week that Susie is going to get reports from listeners that are telling her, you know what, on October 4th, I was listening to your show, and God healed my body.
Yes.
God healed my body. And so, Lord, today we just thank you in advance for those reports that are coming. We thank you in advance that we can be unshakable, that we don't have to live in fear and dread and worry and doubt over what's going to happen, Lord, here with these physical bodies. We present them to you today, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Father. And Lord, I just got to pray for this dear one who wrote in and said, I'm retired now. What should I do with my life? I don't want to spend my last years with self-gratification and enjoying the pleasures of life. Lord God, I'm just so inspired and so moved by that. Request. I pray, God, I just know something's like rising up within me. I know that you've got an amazing call for this person. And I pray, Lord, right now you'd start to make it known. I pray that passion would arise, doors would open, faith would rise up. Lord God, I just get super excited to think about what you've got planned for this dear brother or sister in Christ. I pray you'd surprise them with your goodness, connect them with the right people. I pray their latter years would be far more fruitful and blessed than their former years. I pray that they would walk forward in robust health and strength and passion and joy, and they would be a bright light in a very dark world. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I just, you know, this wasn't something we planned to just break out in prayer, but man, it's one of my favorite things in the world. And I see more texts coming in, but I agree with Larry. What if today is the day that you see a miracle? We serve a God of miracles, so never give up hope. More with Larry Degger in a minute. My guest today says this: Jesus was well aware of the fact that his destiny was on the other side of his toughest challenge. His followers were often confused only because they were looking at the cross with a right now mentality. They could not fathom the amount of light waiting just on the other side of the darkness. To them, the darkness signified the end. To Jesus, the darkness was a doorway into his brightest light and biggest fame. And you say, Larry, that good things fall apart so that better things can fall together. I love that. Say more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about the story where Jesus is talking to his disciples about what was getting ready to happen. And one of the things that he says that they really couldn't even begin to wrap their minds around was, he said, it is to your advantage that I'm going away. And he was saying to them, hey, guys, listen, this is going to be better. You know, when we get through all of this, when all of this shakes out and we get to the other side, this is going to be so much better than right now. And they couldn't see it because they were living in the moment. And, you know, I'm just as guilty as the disciples. I think, you know, we all kind of are to a certain extent. We're kind of in the moment of where life is in this season. But we don't look ahead always to what God is trying to do with us and through us for the future. And I can tell you from my own personal life experiences, my brightest shine has always happened after a darkest night. You know, God is always, anytime God is taking me through a season of darkness, I know without any doubt that he is leading me into a place of a brighter light. And that has been, you know, that was true for Jesus. That's true for me. That's true for those that are listening today. God is, you know, God is on this journey with you. And he is not going to forget about you. He's not going to decide that your story doesn't matter or that your pain isn't significant. He knows about where you are. He knows how you feel. He knows what keeps you up at night. He sees the tears that you cry. And he is actively working on a plan to get you into a better place. He loves you. He's your dad, and you can trust him.
So, amen, amen. I just love the way that God has just led us to pray. We just got so many people saying, thank you for praying. I'm praying along with you. So powerful. I'm talking to Larry Duggar, by the way, friends, and his book is Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. We got 6 copies to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you need prayer or you just find yourself worrying about something, will you share it with us? We would love that. And one of the things, Larry, I love that you said is just kind of there is a name that's over cancer. There's a name that's over cystic fibrosis and over mental illness and Lyme disease and everything else. Insomnia, friends. My goodness, somebody give me an amen. But that name that's above all, every name. I mean, when I was saying to you that my intercessor friend said, you know, I just believe the church has nowhere near fulfilled her destiny. Once again, I felt like faith just rise up in me. And I just thought, you know, you're so right. We've shrunk back at times. We've blended at times. And this could be this time where we start to pray like you were saying. And we do come. People are running back with testimonies. Mm-hmm. I just believe we're entering into that kind of day. There'll be a lot of opposition. But I think, again, it'll be the church's finest hour.
Yeah, for sure. I can tell you here in the church that I pastor, we are seeing, you know, as opposition rises, we're seeing the power of God rise. Not just in the same amount that the opposition is rising, but even in greater amounts. It seems like every time the enemy turns up the heat, then all of a sudden we experience this wave of the supernatural power of God that hits this place. And you know, it's kind of interesting because we think, you know, sometimes you know, the hard time or maybe whatever it is that's kind of got us concerned or upset, that's going to be something that takes us to the end of the rope. You know, that's going to be the you know, kind of the nail in our coffin. And that's not what's happening. You know, as the enemy tries to do what he wants to do to break down the people of God, all of a sudden we see the power of God rising up and saying, you know what, not today. I'm going to take these people on into something better and something greater, something bigger than they could have ever imagined before. Think about what it like this, Susie. Think about, you know, how the disciples must have felt the day Jesus was crucified. I love the way that story reads in the Message translation, because it says that Jesus experienced a total blackout for those 3 hours that he was hanging on the cross. So obviously if Jesus was, you know, in a total blackout, then his followers were too, because they were right there. And I'm sure that they thought in that moment that this is it. What we were believing was going to happen is not going to happen. The plan of God, we've all been hijacked here. You know, we've been lied to. I'm sure that they had those moments of doubt, just like, you know, anyone would. And yet under the surface, the Holy Spirit was moving, and he was preparing everything that they were going to need so that when they came out on the other side of it, they were going to come out better than when they went in. And, you know, I think that's the trap that a lot of people fall into. They think that there's no way that life could ever be good again. Or maybe there's no way, you know, that they're going to be able to see the break, the kind of breakthrough that they're believing God for. And, you know, just reading that story of the cross and what happened after the cross and Jesus, you know, being resurrected from the dead. And then all of a sudden the disciples are in the upper room when the Holy Spirit comes. And now the thing that they saw Jesus doing, now they're doing, you know, they're seeing the sick healed. They're seeing the dead raised. They're seeing all these things happen in their lives that they were only seeing before in the life of Jesus. And none of that would have happened without the cross. And man, I don't like those moments in my life when it seems like the cross shows up for me, but I like the results. You know, mm-hmm. Whenever I see what God was doing all along, and I can look back at that and I could say, ah, okay, now I see what was happening, Lord. I have information now that's helping me a little bit, but in the moment, it seems like, man, it's just so frustrating. And I think, you know, we have to realize that. The Bible says in the book of Romans that God is working all things together for good. So if it's not good, God's not done. And you have to trust him. If it's not good, God's not done. And you have to stay in the fight, and it will get to that place of good.
You know, this is just like beating within me that I feel like I have to say, and I'd love for you just to piggyback on it. But I think one of the reasons there's just such intense anxiety and fear right now is because, you know, a thick darkness covers the earth. A darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness the people. That's what the passage says. And I think what people are only looking at that part and not the rest of that verse, but the glory of the Lord's going to rise upon you. And I just want to say, friend, I just got to say this. When you have it in your mind that it's just going to get darker and darker and worse, and we just somehow are just going to be easy prey for the enemy until Jesus returns, and there's no redemption in this story, no promises, no presence, no provision, it's still an incorrect picture, because just every time there's opposition, as you were saying, Pastor, you see supernatural intervention. And somebody needs to hear today, you're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, yes, we are in a moral free fall. Yes, the enemy seems to be winning the day, and he's using fear all over the place. But as a believer, those who fear God's name, God's well able to restore your soul in a time of chaos. He's well able to answer your prayer for that job you need, or the move you need to make, or the body that needs healing. I mean, Larry, I just feel like if we could step back and go, but the glory of the Lord's going to rise on God's people, there is going to be a distinction, even in opposition, of who fears God, who belongs to him, and who doesn't.
Absolutely. I am with you on that, and that is so big in me right now as well. And one of the revelations that God gave me as I was writing Unshakable actually came from the creation account. You think about when God created the earth. I love the way the Passion Translation describes what the earth looked like. It says that the earth was covered in thick darkness, inky blackness, and it says that chaos was just there over the face of the deep. And yet at the same time, above that chaos, there was God. And one of the images that I saw in my mind, I see God, and he's standing there on the balcony of heaven, and he's looking down, and he's looking down into all of this inky blackness, all of this darkness, all of this, there's nothing there. There's no puzzle pieces to put together, because at this point there is no puzzle. And God is looking at this. He's looking at just a blank sketch there that's going to one day be the earth. And I can see God standing there and thinking to himself, I smell fresh grass. You know, there's no grass, but I see God saying, I smell fresh grass. I see God saying, you know what? I taste the saltiness of the ocean on my tongue. I see God saying, I feel the cool wind of winter blowing across my cheeks. And yet there's nothing there. It's just darkness. And then all of a sudden, you know, God spoke, God said, and then out of all of that chaos, out of all of that darkness came this perfect earth that we, you know, that Adam and Eve were given to have dominion over. And I think, you know, we have got to get to that place, Susie, where we let those God said moments happen in our lives. you know, where God can just speak it, and then we believe it, and then we start to walk in it. And that's the hard part, you know. I often talk about that, you know, some people feel like they're trapped in the nowhere between two somewheres, you know, like they were somewhere and life was going really good, and now they just kind of feel like they're nowhere, but they would like to get into that next somewhere, but they don't know how. And, you know, I think a big part of that is just realizing that that the plans and the purposes of God for my life have nothing to do with what I'm currently experiencing. You know, God is going to get me into those plans. God is going to get me into those purposes. He loves me that much that he is on this mission to pull me out of anything that I might feel stuck in, and to put me in that, you know, in that place in life that is full and abundant and good. And regardless of how I feel, that doesn't change God's plan, but it can change the path if I'm not careful. And, you know, God is not asking me to, you know, I'm going through a hard time. He's not asking me to attend every prayer meeting within 50 miles of my house. He's not asking me to slay a giant. No, he's just asking me to just trust him. You know, it's like, Larry, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Are you going to continue to follow me and serve me and go after me, even though life is a little rocky right now? And when I say yes to that, immediately, I think angels snap to attention, and they're like, "All right, now we're ready. Okay, Larry's ready, and we can go. We can begin to move and shift some things for him." And that's the God I serve. That's the God I love.
Amen. So you pause to go to break. I'm going to ask you, friend listening, as you heard Larry's story, will you trust him with the thing that's scaring you right now, with the fears about today and the worries about tomorrow? Maybe your biggest worry is our nation. I'm concerned about it too. I'm on my face constantly. Or maybe it's for your daughter, your son, your finances. Can you right now give God your yes? Yes, God, I'm going to trust you. I also want to urge you just to consider that passage again. A darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness the people, which means there's so much deception going on right now. But the glory of the Lord rises upon his people. Will you picture in the middle of your fear and darkness, all you need for darkness to cease to exist is light. You turn the light on. Picture the glory of God just shining brightly upon you. Can you just picture yourself in the very places of your fears and worries suddenly having authority and credibility and walking in light and power for a dark, dreary world? I just want you to get a vision for that. When we come back, Larry, I want you to talk about how you say we're conditioned to seek the predictable in times of crisis, but you say God is not predictable. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Talking to author Pastor Larry Duggar, his book, Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. But I actually want you know, when you're on the plane and they're saying, are you willing to assist if there's an escape, if you need to, because you're sitting in an exit or an escape, you know what I mean, the exit row, and you have to give a verbal yes. I'm asking, are you willing to give Jesus your verbal yes? I'm going to trust you. If it's just only today, I'm going to trust you. Text me, yes. Just give me a yes. We'll be back in a minute.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
There's a name that's above every other name. There's a day when every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. And you have access to him today, right now. And if you are in Christ, the same power that rose him from the grave is alive and available to you. I so love seeing all these yeses I asked before the break. Are you willing to just trust him today, to give him your yes today? So many said, yes, 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 count me in. Talking to author and pastor Larry Duggar, his new book is titled Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. And Larry, you said, we are conditioned to seek the predictable in times of crisis. I love this. God is not predictable. He's so much more than stained glass. He is creative, wild, and free to do as he wishes. And you say, I'm convinced you can miss God's answer to your crisis simply because it doesn't fit your preconceived notion of how God should help you overcome your trouble. He doesn't need your nod of approval. He needs your full cooperation. Somebody give me an amen. Say more if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorite parts of the book is entitled, God is Likely to Use the Unlikely. Mm-hmm. And I talk about after Jesus had died on the cross, they took his body down, and there were two very unlikely candidates who showed up to carry the body of Jesus and place Jesus in the tomb. One was a man named Joseph of Arimathea, who was actually a member of the Sadducees, very unlikely candidate, and the other one was a rich man named Nicodemus. Again, these guys are both very, very unlikely candidates to carry the body of Jesus. And I started thinking about all of the people who probably should have carried the body of Jesus. Think about all the people that Jesus healed, the people that he delivered from demons, the people that he fed. There were many more likely candidates to carry Jesus's body. And all of a sudden, God uses these two very unlikely people to show up and carry Jesus during his time in the dark. And we talk about in the book how that, you know, sometimes, you know, when your pallbearer shows up, you might not like who or how God has decided to get you through this dark time. And, you know, Jesus was carried by these two unlikely candidates. God is likely to use very unlikely means in your life to get you to the other side of whatever it is that you're going through. And I think sometimes, you know, we just decide, hey, this is not the way I wanted it to go, and this is not the method that I wanted God to use, and so I'm out. When I think we should be saying, you know what, Lord, you know best, and you know what it's going to take to get me through this time, and you know the means to carry me. And so if it's two unlikely guys that, you know, may not fit the narrative, then, hey, you know what, God, I'm okay with that. And, you know, I think, you know, in my own life, sometimes instead of praying, I'm telling God what to do. And I know, you know, maybe I'm the only one that does that, but I doubt it, right? So, you know, I'm praying, but instead of saying, God, you know, whatever needs to happen here, let that happen. You know, sometimes I'm telling God what he needs to do so that I can be happy, so that I can, you know, move on and move forward. And you know, that's a mistake, because God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, the Bible says as far as the heaven is from the earth. And so whenever, you know, I'm going through a really difficult season in my life, I'm always on the lookout for those unlikely ways that God has prearranged to carry me. And it's just amazing when you start to open your eyes to, you know, what would normally not be familiar to you, or maybe not even be comfortable to you, to just look at the out of the ordinary ways, the out of the box ways that God has, that God is going to show up in your life. Then, you know, I think, you know, things begin to change really fast.
So good. Love this. Terry wrote in. He says, Susie, when it comes to darkness, I try to see it as God does. As Psalm 139:12 says, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the darkness shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Man, there's nothing like God's word. Wow. Do you want to comment on that at all?
Yeah, I actually use that scripture in the book, and I talk about how that, you know, God wears night vision goggles. He can't tell if it's day or night, right? He doesn't know. We know, obviously, you know, when our lives seem to be darker or lighter, we obviously know that. But the Lord, he doesn't know that. His light is night, and night is light to him. It's all the same, because he never changes. And you know, circumstances may try and change us, but they don't change God. And I can tell you, when Jesus was crucified, the lights in heaven never dimmed. There was never a shortage of light coming from the throne room of God. And that's an awesome thing to know, because that means that no matter how dark things may get for me, there is an ample amount of light that can come from God's throne that really can just turn the floodlight on at any second. Even though I can't see what God is what's happening, God can. And he is, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know the plans that I have for you. You know, they're plans for, he wants to give me a future. He wants to give me a hope. And God hasn't changed his mind about that. He still has a future for me.
Amen. You know, there's so many stories, really profound stories in your book, each chapter, just people who walk through unimaginable crises,
yeah.
But then how they come up out of the ashes of their pain. And you've counseled countless people, and speak to how you've seen folks rise out of the ashes time and time again. Were there some common traits, attitudes, perspectives you saw in these overcomers?
Yeah, absolutely. Laced throughout the book, I think there are 10 stories in there of people who found themselves in just the worst case scenario. These were counseling clients of mine who obviously gave me permission to share their story in the book, and everything that you can imagine or think about as being something that you would never choose. Whether it's a health crisis or maybe something that is going on in your marriage or with one of your kids. And I know there's one story in particular that really grabbed me. And it was a woman who her 5-year-old daughter drowned at Disney World. And you think about Disney World, that's supposed to be the happiest place on earth. And yet for this family, it was the worst day of their lives. And I won't go into all of the story, but the little girl drowns at Disney World, and they get her out of the water, and it's been, I think it was 12 minutes since she had taken a breath, and they had told the parents that she had passed, and she was in an ambulance, and the mom said, no, we're not going to accept this. We're going to call our pastor, and we're going to begin to pray. And we are going to begin to seek the Lord for a miracle. And that's exactly what they did. They called their pastor, got him on the phone. They began to pray. They began to intercede over the little girl as they were driving back to the hospital. And as they were praying, to everyone's surprise, maybe not to mom's surprise, but to all the paramedics that were in the ambulance, the little girl took a breath. And then they continued to pray, and she began to take another breath and another breath and another breath. And by the time they got to the hospital, she was conscious again. And they took her in, checked her out, and she left the hospital the same day. And I thought, man, you talk about the prayers of a persistent mama right there who said, you know what, I'm not going to accept these results. I'm going to turn this around, and we're going to pray, and we're going to trust God, and we're going to believe God. And we're going to see something supernatural happen, and that's exactly what they got. And then there are other stories in the book where a good friend of mine, his wife and 3 of his children were actually killed in a car accident. And, you know, that would have been a good time for those people to just say, okay, God, I quit. I give up. Where were you in all of this? But out of that came a ministry that is changing the world. And, you know, out of his tragedy came his biggest ministry. And we tell that story and how God is using him now to minister to people who were in that same place of pain that he was in all those years ago. So we have two different spectrums. We have a little girl who received a miracle from God and was raised back to life. And we have another family who they didn't get that kind of miracle, but they got another kind of miracle. And so, you know, God is able to use whatever we're going through in a way that is not only good for his kingdom, but is good for our lives as well. And that's where the trust factor comes in. You know, we don't always get the answer that we want, but we can trust God with the answer that we get.
We can trust him with the answer we get. Larry, great conversation. Lots of friends chiming in today. So grateful for the conversation. Bless you. Thank you. We so appreciate the time today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Title again is Unshakable, a 40-day guide to overcoming anxiety, worry, and emotional distress. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.